Mishas Avimori, I'd like to dedicate the shiur this morning to the memory of my grandfather, Tzvi Hirschman Avigdor Usher, whose yahrzeit is this evening, tonight, Gimel Nisan, and Shem Shavin Aliyah. Okay, I'd like to analyze a particular part of the Haggadah, but before even we open the Haggadah, I'd like to trace it back to the source in Chazal that it appears in the Mishnah, and that's source number one. Maskir Nitzias Mitzrayim Balelos, we have a mitzvah twice a day, to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, morning and the evening, as part of Kriya Shema, as the Mishnah tells us at the end of the first parak of Brachas, Amar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Hare Aniki ben Shem Shana v'lo Zachisi she'te'amri Yitzias Mitzrayim b'leilos, Achadarsha ben Zoma. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is of the opinion that Yitzias Mitzrayim has to be mentioned at night, again as we paskin, and he was not Zocha, he describes the fact that he was not Zocha until, or whatever stage in life he's standing, we'll have to investigate that in a little while, and he was not zocha to be aware of this drasha that Ben Zoma elaborated for us. Because of this drasha, we're told that the obligation to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim is not only during the daytime, it's also at the nighttime. The Chum say that the pasuk is to be understood differently, and what's taught over here is not the additional requirement to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night, but rather in the future as well in Tav Mashiach. So we should be familiar with this Mishnah from the Seder. Ben Zoma has quite a reputation, not only from the Mishnah Brachos, but also from the Mishnah Sota. Mishnah Sota says, Mishameis Ben Zoma Botla Darshanim. Ben Zoma was the end of a period of great Darshanim, and he was the greatest. And once he was lost from Klal Yisrael, there was a certain compelling skill in hermeneutics that Ben Zoma was able to capitalize upon, and when he was lost, we lost that skill as well. So here's one example where we find that Ben Zoma really was remarkable in his ability to darshan psukim in a way that was very convincing, and as we see from the Mishnah about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, his understanding of the pasuk l'man tizkos yom tzeis chomeres Mitzrayim became the normative practice, obligating us to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every night. Okay. Rashi actually cites this Mishnah right there in Sota. It doesn't say, when we talk about Darshanim, we talk about like the rabbis Drasha in the before Musaf. But it appears from that Rashi that because he associates it with our Mishnah, we're talking about the ability to use Yid Gimel Midos Shatan Jashben. Okay, now while we're familiar with this Mishnah from the Haggadah, it's really quite peculiar that it appears in the Haggadah altogether, and the way to just to give a little background to that quandary is by looking at the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema number 2. The Rambam begins Halacha Aleph Mahu Kore, describing what exactly comprises the mitzvah of Kriya Shema on a daily basis. Shosha Parshios Elu Hein Shema V'Hayim Shema V'Yomer. Okay, V'Yomer is the third parak Kriya Shema that we're going to focus on for the time being. Skip a little bit down to the bottom of the paragraph where it's underlined Afal Pishein Mitzvah Tzitzis No Hegis B'Layla. After the Rambam identifies that third paragraph of V'Yomer is the parsha of tzitzis, and it would be unusual to mention the mitzvah of tzitzis at night as part of this two-pronged mitzvah of Kriya Shema, because mitzvah of tzitzis, strictly speaking, is not operative at night. Nevertheless, koron also b'layla b'nei sheyesh bo zikaron zichron Yitzias Mitzrayim. We read it at night because it reminds us of Yitzias Mitzrayim. U'mitzvah lahaskir Yitzias Mitzrayim b'yom v'layla. There's a requirement to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim every day and every night. Shenemar l'man tizkor es yom tzeis chomeres Mitzrayim kol yimei chiyacha. And he quotes the very same pasuk that we analyzed in the Haggadah and in the Mishnah that we read previously at the end of the first parak of Brachos. Now, once you have that pasuk in mind, it's important to hold it up in contrast to what the Rambam writes in the following source, number 3, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Mitzvah saseh shel Torah l'saper b'nisan v'naflos, shenasu avasinu b'mitzrayim b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan. Now that we move from the daily obligation to recite Kriya Shema, and we're focusing very specifically on the night of the Seder, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Rambam also addresses the detailing, the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, L'sapar b'nisan v'naflos, shenemar zochores yom hazeh asher yetzasu mimitzrayim, k'mo shenemar zochores yom haShabbos. There has to be a mention of the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim the same way that we acknowledge the incoming sanctity of Shabbos every week. There's a connection between the way we discharge the obligation to perform Kiddush as well as Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim. Uminayim Shablach Misha Oser, how do you know that this requirement is on the 15th Nisan specifically? Tamal Omer V'gadta L'vincha B'yamahu Le'mor V'avur Zeh B'shash Sheyesh Matzah Omor Munachim L'fanacha. Pasuk describes conversation, the education that is given by the parents to the children, V'gadta L'vincha B'yamahu Le'mor, on the night of the Seder. Now, while this seems to be almost repetitive, because we're describing the same recounting of the very same story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam seems to be giving us, number one, two different sources. Two different sources would imply two different mitzvos, because you wouldn't need two different psukim to tell me the same commandment. And moreover, what's always remarkable about the Rambam is how he classifies things, how he organizes things, how he takes different halachos that appear in very different places in Shas, and sometimes surprises you by where he categorizes them in different areas of halacha when he organizes the Arach HaZaka, the Mishnah Torah. It's very clear from the fact that one pasuk is quoted in the laws of Kriyat Shema and the other pasuk is quoted in the laws of Pesach, that the two are probably unrelated. Nevertheless, while they share this thematic common denominator that they enjoin us to describe what took place on the night of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and following, at the same time they seem to have a different character. And therefore, because they're two different mitzvos, we need to understand what makes them unique. But even more so, we need to understand why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Mishnah appears here in the Haggadah, when his mitzvah, the mitzvah that he's addressing, the mitzvah he's trying to define, is relevant every single day of the year, morning and night. Whereas the mitzvah that is described in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is only on the 15th, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seems to be out of place altogether. Because he's telling us about our mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, not telling us about the mitzvah that we are supposed to perform in the Magid section of our Haggadah every year. This question is picked up by a number of the Mepharshim. I'd like to take a look at the approach that's given to us by the Emek Bracha in source number 4. Emek Bracha is written by a Talmud of the Biskurov, Rav Arya Pomeranchik. Fortunately, he passed away at a very young age in Yerushalayim, but he left with his heirs quite a few manuscripts that have been published, and provide a lot of insight into things which otherwise remain quite shrouded. And he tells us in his section on the Haggadah that the Brisker Rav would tell his students that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, when he would be in the Seder every year, and his family around the table, he would initiate the process before actually opening up the Haggadah and performing the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. He'd first outline 3 points which make the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the night of the Seder, unique. Again, distinguishing that mitzvah from Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's how they would begin. Emek Bracha on the top of the column on the right details these 3 distinctions. Number one, Shebezchira, the daily mitzvah, ain't tzorach al haskil atzmi Yetzias Mitzrayim. All you need to do is to yourself acknowledge that memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Aval Sipur, telling the story on Pesach, hu l'saper la'achar derech she'ilu tshuva. That's a requirement. To have a two-way street where there's questions and answers, there's a give and take, there's a back and forth, it's a discussion, kiddusiv, v'haya ki yishalcha vincha, v'gadka levincha, etc. Your child asks you and you tell him. Haben shoa manishtara, the child asks manishtara, v'ad meisha v'ad mayinu, father responds with avad mayinu, v'filo haya levado, shoa atzma manishtara, kiddera sipa la'akar. And halacha is that even if he has no children around the Seder table, even if he's by himself, he's supposed to ask the questions and answer them on his own. Because it has to be performed derech sipur in this manner of how one would tell a story to another individual, not just mentioning it, not just making a statement that's only effective and only relevant to himself. That's number one. Number two, Or Chiluk, Shebezchira in Sarach al-Haskir Hayitzim in Tzayim Levada. Daily basis. When we conclude the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, we say, "Ani Hashem Alkechem, Shaltesi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Yosachem Alkechem." All we're saying is, "Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and that's it. That's all that's required on a daily basis as part of Kriyat Shema." However, when it comes to the night of the Seder, "Av Sipur Tzarach LeSaper Kol Eshalshlus V'Tzarach LaHaskel B'Minus U'Lsayim Mishvach." There's much more of a progression and going all the way back to the beginning, going back to Terach and Avram Avinu, and continuing how history marches on from the time of the Avos. All the way through Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we're released from the Shibud, instead of just encapsulating the entire story in just a few words. That's number two.
And finally, only Tosaf mitzvah sipor l'sapratami mitzvah, so also laila. We also need to explain the reasons for what we do on that night. As the Haggadah continues with Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kosh L'Omer Gimel Dvarim, Eru B'Pesach, L'Yotzei Dechavoso, Eru Hein Pesach Matzumar, and with each one we say, Pesach Al-Shuma, Mas Al-Shuma, and Mor Al-Shuma. So those are the three distinctions. On the night of the Seder, number one, it has to be in this conversation format. Number two, it has to be a much broader perspective, not just mentioning the fact that we were released from Mitzrayim. And number three, we also have to specify the mitzvahs halayla and the reasons behind them. So with that introduction, the Emek Bracha tells us that that's exactly what's going on in the Seder. It wasn't just Reb Chaim Soloveitchik explicating that to the people around this table in order that they should have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah with all its component parts, but rather the Baal HaGadah, the author of the Gadah himself, is trying to communicate to us how we are going about performing the unique mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on that night. And continue to the next paragraph. Lufi ze nira, shebaal hagadah sheratza gamkin levar lanu ikra mitzvah shal Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim v'achilukim sheba. The author wants to convey to us as well how this particular mitzvah is discharged. Akin hektim b'dvar v'mishnah shal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we start off with the mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Lomar, shegam b'chol hashana ikra mitzvah lahaskir Yetzias Mitzrayim b'leilos. The Haggadah is telling us, I know what you're thinking. Every single day of the year, we have this obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day. So your knee-jerk reaction is to wonder, what exactly are we doing here that distinguishes the night of the Seder from every other day and every other night of the year? And with that, following on the heels of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Baruch HaMakum Keneged Arba Banim Dibur Torah B'Mitzvah Shel Sipur. First, look around your table, recognize that you may have a few guests, you may have a variety of guests, and each one needs to be addressed, and each one needs to be educated in a different form, arba banim, because we don't highlight that awareness of the various modes of education that need to be employed at the night of the Seder, we'll forget about the fact that what makes Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim unique in the first element is that it's a conversation. It has to be with communication to the other people who are joining with you. It's not enough, other people are joining you, it's not enough to just say, we left Mitzrayim. That's number one. Achakach mevar masai hi amitzah shal sipur labanim. Then we need to highlight when exactly is that specific requirement to have a conversation with your children. Yachom erosh chodesh. Tamalom avavor zeh b'shara shematzumor munachum ofanecha. This that we are describing right now is only this night and not the rest of the year. Again, differentiating Rav Elazar ben Azariah from our mitzvah this evening. Continues the Haggadah. Achakach masal b'genosu m'sayim b'shrach. Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avaseinu. Etc. And then we go all the way through Dayenu, preceded by Arami Ovid Avi, and he in short highlights some of the Rashi Prakam of the Haggadah. But Achrak maybe Divrei Rabbi Gamliel Koshla Amar Gimel Dvarim Eil VePesach LoYatzei DeChavaso. And the last component of Haggadah, right before we begin Hallel, which is really a different mitzvah, concludes with that third unique aspect of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is detailing the mitzvahs of the night and giving the reasons for them. So with that in mind, Rav Elazar ben Azariah is not some seemingly irrelevant mitzvah. It's also not some seemingly irrelevant story, but rather it's there in order to serve as sort of a foil to contrast what we do the rest of the year and what it is that we have to have in mind to make sure we're accomplishing this evening as we proceed, because if we don't have that in mind, we'll think we're just doing what we did in Shul a little while ago in the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema. Okay, so that's just the to scratch the surface, maybe, and understand where Rav Elazar ben Azariah stands in the context of the Haggadah at large. However, I think that there's a much deeper significance, which will be brought out, which will hopefully emerge from Hashem over the next little while. But we have to ask a few questions in order to introduce the yisod that I hope we'll be able to elaborate upon as we continue. First question you have to ask: we're reading a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Mesachos Brachos. It's a little misleading because it appears in the Haggadah, so we're used to telling stories as part of the Haggadah, because that's what Haggadah means. But it's a Mishnah. When you see a Mishnah like this, it has to jump out at you. First of all, Mishnayos are very, very concise. They usually tell us a din, maybe there's a machlokas about the din. We very rarely are given the source of that din. Usually the Gemara begins, Minahani Mili, and then proceeds to try to find various ways to derive a halacha that appears in the Mishnah, and the Amorayim go and explicate where the halacha and the Mishnah ultimately comes from. And here you have a Mishnah where not only do we provide a source, but we also have this discussion back and forth, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, ben Zalman, the Chachamim,
as to what the correct way to read that source pasuk actually is. So number one, it's unusual because it's a very long Mishnah. It's unusual because it's a very detailed Mishnah and it gets into the source of the halacha. Number three, who cares how old Rabbeinu ben Azariah was? Again, it's not even clear how old he was, but he was kibben shim shana, whatever that means, and that would seem to be irrelevant to this Mishnah and any Mishnah, and certainly the Haggadah. So what's that doing here? And moreover, the fact that Ben Zoma also appears shows us that there was some critical component that he adds to the Haggadah as well, which is very unclear, because if we're really just providing a foil, like we said before, according to Emek Bracha, to set up what we're not supposed to be doing this evening, it's very unusual to describe at length something which is really just tangential, it would seem, to what we really want to set up as a way to contrast with what the mitzvah actually is this evening. If you don't mind, a few minutes. Thank you. Okay. So now, the first thing to notice, Rashi, on the Mishnah, in Brachos, right there, tells us that the reference, Harei Kiven Shem Shana, needs to be understood in the context of a story that's related to us. If you fast forward to later in the Sefer Brachos, in the fourth parak, this appears on in source number five at the bottom of the page, where we're told a lengthy discussion ensues between the Tanaim regarding whether or not Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, or rather whether it should be a Chova. And this is Machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, and it becomes a very heated debate, and the Gemara tells us that the Tanaim felt that Rabbi Gamliel was a little too hard on Rabbi Yeshua in this particular instance, and also the Gemara recounts various events that took place previous year and other times in the past when Rabbi Gamliel took it out a little too harshly on Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Gamliel at the time was the Nasi, of course. He was from the Davidic line. And the contemporaries of Rabbi Gamliel were a little frustrated with his behavior. Look at the second line, source number five, Tove Abre. The Tanaim decide it's time to ask Rabbi Gamliel to step down. We have to find a replacement. And what ensues afterwards seems to be some sort of caucusing. Man Nokimle, who are we going to put in his place? Look for Rabbi Yeshua. Well, Rabbi Yeshua, he's the one who's taking the heat. Maybe he should be given the post. So Gemara says, no, Bal Maisahu. He didn't think it was politically savvy to put him in the very same post that they're kicking Rabbi Gamliel out of. Nokimle Rabbi Akiva. Let's put Rabbi Akiva in that position. So Dumanishleg, the last Chosavos, Rabbi Akiva, although he was the Gadol Hador, same time he came from a weak background, and his lineage wasn't so strong, and therefore that might make him susceptible or vulnerable to some punishment that would not otherwise be visited upon someone who has Chosavos. So the conclusion is, Al Nukma Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, we'll choose Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, Du Chacham, Du Asher, Du Asir LeEzra. He's very wise, he's rich, and he's also from the line of Ezra. It's important that he's wise because he's the Nasi. He needs to be able to answer the Shilas. Who Ashir? Who cares if he's rich? The Israel Fluka the Kesar, Abu Azul Parach. If there's a need for him to intercede with the Caesar, so he'll have the right clout in order to discharge whatever the needs happen to be. Who Asir Ezra, and he also comes from Ezra, the Israel Chosavas will Mati Anishle. So he has this Chosavas that will protect him. Some say that his name Ben Azariah is somehow related to his ancestor Ezra. Also, from Malay, so they come to Rabbi Ben Azariah, and they ask him Nichle Lamar, the Lehavi Rish Masifta, would you like to be the new head? Amalu Ezav Imok Ben Shi Basi. So he says, I'm going to go ask my family. Then the Gemara tells us Ezav Imok Ben Divisu. The only one he actually asked was his wife. Amalay, she said to him, Dema Avinlach, why do you want to take this position? Next year they'll kick you out also, just like Rabbi Gamliel. So Amalu Shamish Inish Yom Achad Bekasa Demukra Ulamacha Lithberg. Says, you're right, could happen, but we'll take it day by day, and whatever I'm able to provide for the tzibur now will be will make it worthwhile, and we'll deal with the future when it happens. Amalu Less Lachivart. Okay, only one problem less. You look like a kid. Okay, so what we're used to understanding, and the Gemara tells us in a moment, Oyom Bar Tamei Shrei Shaniav. He was 18 years old. Yushalmi has him at 16 or 17. There's other versions. Maybe we'll get to a little bit later. He was 13. It's Rakshle Nisa Bahajale Tamli Sari Dari Chivarta. So then that night, miracle took place, and when he woke up in the morning, he had a full gray beard. So that explains the line of the Mishnah, which mysteriously describes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, describing himself as like 70 years old. He wasn't actually 70 years old. He looked like he was 70 years old, but in reality he was only 18 according to the Babli. So now, once we understand that the line in the Mishnah that appears in our Haggadah about Harayani Kiven Shem Shana is to be understood in the context of that story, seemingly that's what Rashi is doing by pointing us to that story later on, so we're further led to question what this has to do with anything. This story seems to be totally irrelevant. They're discussing Winnie Davin Mariv, and we're discussing the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it would be very surprising if we come to the conclusion that there's this incidental reference to some story that led to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah growing a gray beard, and we just sort of mention it derech agav in the Haggadah. That's question number two. What's going on? Question number one was, this Mishnah doesn't seem to be a classic style of Mishnah. Question number two is, what's the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah doing in our Haggadah when we trace it back to its roots when he became the Nasi? And question number three asks us to proceed to let's go to actually source number seven. Okay, we mentioned Ben Zoma intercedes on behalf of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's how the Mishnah unfolds, and that's how it appears in our Haggadah. And the understanding that I think most people are brought up with, and this is understood by many Rishonim, the Abu Drum in his Haggadah, the Shmuel Aleket, the Rush, the Ritva, Rashi, and others, and that is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had this notion that the correct performance of Kriyat Shema includes the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night as well, but Lo Zachisi, as the Abu Drum in number 6, writes, Lo Zachisi Lo Nitzachti. Elsewhere in Shas, Lo Zachisi means not I didn't merit it, but rather I was not able to win. Like in Israel, if you win the lottery, so Zachiti, right? So here he says I wasn't able to overcome the opposition until Ben Zoma came along. So the question is, what exactly was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thinking before Ben Zoma came along? Where did he get this from? So the Pnei Yeshua asked that question number 7. And then the bolded text, L'chor Yishlomet, he gave me Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, L'asik adayte haf drasha, the Darsh Ben Zoma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't come up with the same drasha that Ben Zoma came up with. Koyim echayach aleos, imkein meikara, my time is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What was the basis for his position originally? Demaskirin tzias mitzayim v'leos. D'havarai pasha stitzis eino noog v'layla. Can't be anything related to tzitzis. I'm in source number 7, first paragraph in the bolded text, about 4 or 5 lines in. And at the end of the end of that bolded section, you'll see Vahanira, the second to last line of bolded text. Vahanira bezed the Lord of Elazar ben Azariah pashta dekra dechsev mantiskor yom tzeischa meheret Mitzrayim koinam elelos afilu below reboy deko. The Pnei Yeshua concludes that it must be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had some logical reason why the actual text, the pasuk itself, without any drusha, without any external method of darshaning the pasuk, allows you to arrive at the conclusion that the mitzvah of Zechir Yetzias Mitzrayim applies at night as well. And therefore, what Ben Zoma did was add a new drasha to substantiate what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thought was intuitive when reading the pasuk. And the Pnei Yeshua goes on to explain why one would arrive at that conclusion. We'll have to maybe save that for another time. If you go back for a moment to source number 6, at the end of the second paragraph, this is from the Abu Drum's Haggadah, the last line, it's bolded, v'yishma farshim, v'lo zachisi limso raya l'dvarai min akosuv la'omra. Similar position to what we just saw in the Pnei Yeshua, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt that this was the correct halacha, even though he did not have this drasha of Ben Zoma. Rabbi Drum seems to say that this was something purely logical, whereas Pnei Yeshua seems to say that it was something that he understood from the text of the Pasuk. Nonetheless, they're operating along the same lines. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had one understanding that predated Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma came along, substantiated from the drasha, and that changed everything, and suddenly Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was able to win the day. So then, yet again, we have to ask, why is the process important over here? Why is the process important, and why did he specifically highlight Ben Zoma as the champion of his position? Okay. And finally, and this really makes the question even stronger, if you look at source number 8, you have a perspective which many may not be familiar with. It comes from the Haggadah of the Rid, Rabbi Shai Mitrani. Other Rishonim have this as well, the Tashbetz, the Ravon. Lo zachisi she'te'amri tzias mitzrayim b'leilos, number 8, shahayisi savar ein mitzvah el diyom. Not that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah always held zachir tzias mitzrayim was at night as well, but rather he was originally of the opinion that the Chachamim are espousing in the Mishnah, that it's only a mitzvah during the daytime. Something happened when Ben Zoma came along. Acha shamati drush Ben Zoma, umay oz ve'elach nitkan la'omra u'lahaskir tiyas misrami yoma u'malayla. Once Ben Zoma delivered his drusha, so then I came to the conclusion that he was correct, and Yitzias Mitzrayim is to be mentioned in the nighttime as well. V'yom nitkan v'emes v'yatziv u'b'layla v'emes v'amuna. And he continues, and adds something which is not readily apparent from our Mishnah and from the Haggadah, that wasn't just adding a third paragraph. Adding a third paragraph means adding the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim and everything else in Ma'ir that is patterned after that that pasuk of Ani Hashem Elokecha at the end of Kriyat Shema, including the recital of Emes V'yatziv and Emes V'emuna at the nighttime specifically. So here you have an entirely different perspective, where Harayani Kiven Shem Shana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling us that he originally held like the Chachamim, and Ben Zoma comes along and tells us that that there's a different approach. I think this is even more troublesome, because then it's nothing about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah specifically that we need to mention. According to the first Mahalach, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah always held like Ben Zoma, so he's really a player in the Machlokas, and he belongs in the Mishnah, and that's how it makes it into our Haggadah. But if Ben Zoma was able to win the day over everybody, even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was on the side of the Chachamim, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is really no one special in the final equation. And moreover, the story of how he became like 70 years old is even more relevant, because the story of Ben Zoma and his drasha doesn't pertain to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah specifically, rather it's something that applied and was important for all Tanaim who lived at the time, because they all disagreed with Ben Zoma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was not any different, because he was also the opinion that the Chachamim held that Zechiyas Yitzias Mitzrayim was only during the daytime. Okay, quick review. What are our questions? In short, number one, why the Arichas in the Mishnah? Why all the sources brought? Why the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Why do we need to know how old he was? And what did he think before Ben Zoma came along? And if he was of the opinion that the Chachamim were right before Ben Zoma came along, why is he the one and his background that are singled out and described at length in our Mishnah, if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was just one of many Tanaim in the crowd of the Chachamim who Ben Zoma came to disagree with? Okay. So I think the way to begin to answer this question is, as my father always likes to repeat the famous joke, why do Jews always have to answer one question with another question? Why not? So we'll try to do the same over here this morning. I want to share with you a yesod which I think will really transform your experience at the Haggadah, at the Haggadah night, or the night of the Seder, from beginning to end, and will hopefully shed light on our topic of discussion this morning, and allow us to return to those questions and clarify what the answers may be. Now we're told in the Rambam, it's based on the Gemara Masechet Daf Kuf Tzayin. If you look at the bottom of page 3, this is source number 9. Tzorach lahaskil b'gnos l'asai mishvach. We highlighted earlier what's unique about Sipras Yitzis Mishan, the night of the Seder. The second component B'chaim told us was this detail that we have to begin at the very start of Jewish history, Maaskil b'gnos l'asai mishvach, and move all the way to when we finally become a nation, the time of Yitzis Mishan. Kesed, how do we perform this mitzvah? Maskel masap b'tzchilo hayo avasin me terach u'mafonav kofrim v'toim akra hevel v'rofen akra v'odazara. To be fair, the Rambam actually says you have to go back to yimei terach u'milfonav. Terach wasn't the beginning of Jewish history any more than Terach's father was, in the sense that they were all the backdrop upon which Avram Avinu was able to come to his own realization of Amunah Hashem. But in any event, the point is certainly to highlight that we all came from a state of idolatry, and that was the norm at the time that Avraham Avinu began his Kiruv mission. And then by the end of the night, we have to reach the point at which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be his nation, and he separated us from the rest of the world, the rest of the population, which remained straying after Avodah Zarah. We have to talk about how Paro enslaved us, everything that they did to the Jews in Egypt to make our lives difficult, and we conclude with the Nisim that were performed at the time which HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually freed us. V'hushi yidrosh me'arami ovid avi at sheigmo kol parsha b'chol mosuf u'marak b'drash parsha zuh reizim meshubah. The Rambam tells us that the way to do so is by looking at the psukim that appear in Parshas Kisavo, Dvarim Chavav. You look at the next page, I have them all in source number 10. And you'll recognize this this section from the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, where one brings the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, and when he hands the basket of Bikurim to the Kohen, he has an obligation to read this this section at the beginning of that Parsha, Parshas Kisavo, which we call Mikra Bikurim. And we're familiar with the psukim that appear here because they're in the Haggadah. Vayirei Elos HaMamitzim Vayanunu Vayinu Olenu Vodakosha Vanitzak Al Hashem Vaseinu Vayishma Hashem Eskolenu Vayayas Anyenu Vesamolenu Vesalchatzenu. So if you look in the Haggadah, we know that each one of these psukim are really picked apart. That we take pasuk by pasuk, break it into two-word phrases, basically, and for each two-word phrase, we quote a Maimon Chazal, maybe a pasuk from elsewhere in Tanakh, to expand upon the depths of meaning that appear in each one of these psukim, and that's how we proceed until the very final pasuk, where etc., where Akash Baruch Hu has taken us out of Mitzrayim and he performed all the miracles, and now we're on the way to Eretz Yisrael, and finally the person reading the mitzvah, the Mikra Bikurim, is actually in Eretz Yisrael. Question is, if you had asked me how one should ideally perform the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and I was told that my obligation is to select a passage within the Torah with which I should begin the discussion, or I should frame the discussion, my knee-jerk reaction would be to take the Parshas in Shmos. The Ramban writes in his Hagdama to Parshas Shmos, it's Sefer HaGeulah. So in real time, we can describe all the miracles that took place, following the description of the Shibud, where we talk about the Avodas Perach, and we talk about how Klal Yisrael was there for 210 years, and that's the natural choice when we're asked to describe what took place at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rather, we choose from Parshas Kisavo, which, for lack of a better way to describe it, so this is Moshe Rabbeinu at the very end of his life. He's going to die very shortly, 40 years after Mitzrayim took place, and this is nothing more than like a post-game wrap-up to recap what took place for your parents. That's what he's telling to the children of the Yotzei Mitzrayim who are about to enter Eretz Yisrael. So it's very unusual that we should choose this passage rather than what really is, in some ways, more detailed than the psukim as they appear over here that we find in Shmos. So the two answers to this question that I'm familiar with. One is a very technical answer. Yor Sameach in source number 11 tells us that Chazal described the matzah as lechem oni. And one of the interpretations of that definition, besides the lechem that we ate at a time of affliction, okay, halach ma'anya, but it also is known as lechem oni because it's the lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. It's the matzah. We have to make sure to uncover the matzah when you get up to Magid because we're supposed to have this discourse about Yetzias Mitzrayim while the matzah is before us. Onim alav dvarim harbe. So the Or Sameach says, that's beautiful because the pasuk, as is bold in source number 10, the anisa ve'amarta l'fnei Hashem Elokecha, the way in which Mikra Bikurim is read is va'anisa ve'amarta. Rashi says in va'anisa refers to Kol Ram. One's supposed to say the Haggadah out loud as well. Mikra Bikurim should be said out loud. So since there's this reference to va'anisa in Mikra Bikurim, that relates to the lechem oni, the lechem sha'onim ol v'dvarim harbe, and we put the two together and decide that this is where we're supposed to describe Yetzias Mitzrayim from when we're choosing passages in the Torah. Okay, again, a technical answer. The Rav offered a very different explanation, which gets to the heart of what the Haggadah is all about, what the Seder night is all about. The Rav explained, on a very basic level, practical level, so when we expand upon these psukim, specifically through the means of Torah Shebaal Peh, which, again, if you look at the way the Haggadah is is given to us, so Vayir Mitzrayma, opening up with the initial pasuk, Arami Ovid Avi, Vayir Mitzrayma, Onosopya Dibur. So right off the bat, that is an explanation that offers more than the Torah Shebaal Peh can tell us. And again, most practically, I think where all is said and done, one could argue that we're provided with a greater elaboration of what's going on behind the scenes in Yetzias Mitzrayim than we are given in Shmos, where it's much more of the factual description of the natural procession of events on the surface, without the added level of depth that Torah Shebaal Peh provides for us. But explain the Rav more fundamentally, the whole point of the Seder, The whole notion of the God to Levincha is to transmit the story to the next generation. It's to provide the yesodos of Emuna that form the underpinnings and the cohesion of Klal Yisrael, number one, as a nation, and specifically as a nation that adheres to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the mode of the mitzvah is specifically transmission to the next generation, it only makes sense that the vehicle to accomplish that should also be a mode which by its very nature is defined by the way we orally transmit from generation to generation the Torah Shebaal Peh. Meaning to give over, read from the Torah Shebaksav to our children would be nice. It would certainly accomplish a description of the fundamentals of Amunah that one is supposed to internalize at the Seder. But we add an entire dimension when the way by which we perform that act of transmitting the Amunah to the next generation is through the very means of Torah Shebaal Peh, which its nature is specifically meant to be the manner by which we transfer from one generation to another, because it never was written down on paper. Never was in this static, concrete, printed form, but rather what was defined by its ability to remain oral and to remain part of a conversation, which again is really what the Haggadah is supposed to be. Not supposed to be a lecture, but rather a discussion, a discourse back and forth through the Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore, when we choose to outline the story of the Haggadah in Tzias Mitzrayim with a passage in Torah Shebaksav, we will choose the one that lends itself most familiarly and most readily to Torah Shebaal Peh, which is ultimately the means by which we transfer to the next generation. And the reason why this is so important is because we take a step back and we think about what Torah Shebaal Peh means and the process by which it comes down to us. Take a look at page number 5, source number 14. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Mamrim. Okay, want to go a little bit out of order. Halacha Beis first. To contrast this with what we have in Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes, Bezin Shegazu Gzeira O Tikna Takana, Vinhigu Minav Upasha Adar B'chol Yisrael. When the Sanhedrin comes up with a Halacha, Din Drabanan, and it is accepted throughout Klal Yisrael, Omer Acharein Bezin Acher Bikesh Lavatel Dvarim HaRishonim V'Lakar Osa HaTakana. If another Bezin later on wants to uproot what the original Bezin enacted, It's impossible for a later Bezdin to uproot what the original Sanhedrin, the original Bezdin put on the books, unless that later Bezdin is greater than the original Bezdin that came up with the Gzeirah in the first place. That's all correct when it was something that originates from Chazal themselves. Go back to source number one. Halacha Al, Bezdin Gadol Shadosh of Achman Amidos, Fima Shanir Beinam, I'm still on page 5. Beginning of source 14. If the Bez and Agadol, if the Sanhedrin, with the use of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Jeshbehen, brings to us a new halacha, Kvim HaShanir Beinem, what appears to be correct in their eyes, with a Kavachomer, with a Gzeir Shava, Shadin Kach V'Danu Din, V'Omer Achrem Bez and Acher, V'Nir Lotam Acher, Listor Oso, Hareza Sosa V'Dan Kvim HaShanir Beinav. If a later Bezin uses the same methods of Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Jeshbehen and comes to reverse the decision that was made by the initial Bezdin, they have the power to do so, even if they are not a Bezdin that is greater than the initial Bezdin, as the Rambam describes in Halacha Beis. In other words, there are two very different phenomena over here. In Halacha Beis, when it's something that's originated by Chazal, in order to repeal that din, the later Bezdin has to be as great or greater than the initial din. The initial Bezdin. Whereas when it comes to understanding the words of the Torah itself, there's a built-in flexibility that allows each and every generation to not reinvent, but to come up with an interpretation that they believe is the most appropriate interpretation to abide by, even if it flies in the face of an interpretation that was offered by a previous Bezdin, they may have even been greater than the current Bezdin. Now, I'm careful to say this doesn't mean that the later Bezdin thinks that the original Bezdin was wrong and got God's intent incorrectly, but rather we're told by the Ritva, it quotes from Yishalmi, it's in source number 15, just we'll say it outside, when we say the term Eilveil Divreil Kim Chayim, what does that mean, that everything is correct? This is correct and that's correct. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came to Har Sinai, was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, on every Shiloh that could ever come up, 49 ways to be matir and 49 ways to asser it. Which means that there are many different perspectives that are all acceptable on the same shaila, but it's up to each generation and their leaders to determine what makes the most sense, and paskin accordingly. Okay, so it's not correct or incorrect, it's a question of the authority that's given to each succeeding generation to decide how they think we should behave and what approach we should follow. That's what the Ritva says, and that gives rise to the Rambam's understanding that you don't need a greater Beis Din to uproot what the previous Beis Din enacted, because it's all a question of what that particular generation's Beis Din feels is the most appropriate to follow. And that's based on source number 16, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which notes how different leaders in the history of Klal Yisrael are mentioned in conjunction and juxtaposed to each other, suggesting that it doesn't matter how great or not, relatively, each generation's leaders happen to be, but we're given a klal. Yerubal bedoro kemoshu bedoro. Badim bedoro ka'aron bedoro, yiftach bedoro kishmo bedoro. Torah tells us that we're supposed to go el ha-shofet asher yiyah bayom ha'im, and the only person you can go to is the shofet who is alive at your time. You can't say, well, if someone else was alive, if Moshe Feinstein was still alive, he would have said differently, and he knows better than the current leader. Rather, I need to take who HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me in any specific generation, and as long as he is one of the Baalei HaMesorah, and he's entitled to an opinion, to follow what he says, regardless of his relative stature, vis-a-vis previous generations. So if that's the case, we find something very interesting. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, let's try to start answering our questions. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not just telling us a story, and he's not just bringing in Ben Zoma's drusha for no apparent reason, and it's not irrelevant, it's actually relevant to the Haggadah itself. What Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is trying to clarify for us, and what the author of the Haggadah feels it necessary to emphasize as we begin the process of telling the story, is if the story has to be conveyed to us through the medium of Torah Shebaal Peh. Because, as we explained before, in the name of the Rav, the mode of transmission, Vigato Levincha, is most appropriately discharged through Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the means by which we have that conversation between generations. So it's all the more appropriate to, at the same time, highlight, as an introductory statement, the extent and the power of the authority that is given to the Chachmei HaMesorah in delivering that Mesorah to us. To such an extent that if you take a step back and you think about it, so we said before, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the turning point through Ben Zoma, at which, as the Avodram told us, they shifted. The Siddur changed. The Siddur changed. Not only did we add an additional paragraph to Kriyat Shema, but we added Emes V'yatzev, Emes V'emunah, at least at nighttime. This is actually Machlokes, the Rajba brings down in source number 20, and that's Sugin Brachos. The Rajba was of the opinion that originally they said Emes V'emunah, and they said the third parak, Midrabanah, and came along Ben Zoma and made it into a Delraisa. The Rajba says that doesn't make any sense. When we describe a situation where Ben Zoma's, pre-Ben Zoma, where they didn't have a mitzvah of Kol Yimei Chayecha L'Rabos Es Halelos, they simply did not say that third parak of Kriyat Shema altogether. Which means that when Ben Zoma comes along, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gives him the stamp of approval and his thank you to Ben Zoma for changing the accepted halacha, it changed the Siddur as well. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Which means that this was really a landmark event, not only in the formulation of the text of our davening, but also in the way in which the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh, given to each generation's respective leaders, plays itself out, where the effects are felt even today when you sit down to daven Maariv. So what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah wants to emphasize to us, and by extension, what the Baal Haggadah wants to do in introducing the mode of Torah Shebaal Peh as the way to transmit the story of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we go through all those drushos and provide new meaning and new depth to the simple understanding of Torah Shebaal Tzav, we have to start with an appreciation of where that authority comes from, its binding nature, and how much, once its depths are revealed to us and unveiled to us, how much can change. And that the limits are exploded when Torah Shebaal Peh is brought into the equation, because we can always introduce new perspectives, new ways to understand what we were used to as being more limited and less expansive originally. Which also, I think, sheds light on one of our other questions. When we saw that Ben Zoma originally, according to the first approach, held like he ultimately does in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah tells us that Yimecha Yechaz Rabbis is a Leilos, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah always held like that. He always held that you should read Kriyat Shema all three paragraphs at night. Ben Zoma came to confirm that and substantiate it with a drasha. So we asked, what happened prior to that? What happened prior to that? So it seems that from the period of time that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became aware of that position, Yeshua again said it comes from the simple meaning of the psukim, until Ben Zoma came along, and for some interpretations of the Haggadah, that means until he was actually 70 years old. Notwithstanding the story, we'll leave the story aside for the moment, but some say that when he became 70 years old, that was also when he actually became 70 years old, that's actually when Ben Zoma was introduced his drasha. In other words, from the time he was 13 or 16 or 18, when he became Nasi, for the next 52 years at least, until Ben Zoma came along when he was actually Shivim Shana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was lying dormant, so to speak. His position was just sort of quietly rejected, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, what can I do? The Chacham overruled me. You don't have to go back, but I'll just read you from the Abu Drums Haggadah earlier. We read that what was hindering his Zechiyah, Lo Nitzachti L'Chacham B'Koch Gemara V'Talmud Sh'ti Amri T'yis Mitzrayim V'Leilos. It sounds like he had his own drushes, and the Rabbanon were able to still vanquish him. Why? Lefisha Isi Yochid, Vehim Rabim. Vehim Dvar Shalachim Machum Shnayim. I was alone, they were Rabim. Apparently it might not have been more than two, but they were the Rabim, therefore I lost. So he was the Nasi of the of Klal Yisrael at the time. Not only that, but at this very young age, he was chosen to be the leader. You can imagine 50 years later how much greater he was, and nevertheless all this time he just kept quiet. It was only when Ben Zoma came along and then tipped the scales, and it was no longer Yochid versus Rabim, and somehow Ben Zoma's drasha was able to win the day and capture everyone's heart and change the equation to tip his side of the scale. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Now I can change my practice. Now I can come out in public and espouse my own position. Up until now, I had to remain quiet in the face of the Rabim." So what that shows is at the same time as we are trying to trumpet the koach of the Torah Shebaal Peh, because it serves as the mode of transmission on the night of the Seder, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says simultaneously there's an internal system that preserves the integrity of that Mesorah as well. It's not a free-for-all, it's not Hefker, but the rules that we have to play by dictate how far we can go with that Mesorah, where we have a right to expand our understanding, and when that has to be curtailed. And ultimately, we have to take it to a vote. And even if I'm convinced for the last 50-plus years, and I'm the greatest Talmud Chacham of the day, and I was chosen to be the Nasi, I'm still going to keep quiet because we have to play by the rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed in that Mesorah for it to be effective. So that helps us understand why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is the one who singled out in the story, why we need to know what he used to hold, instead of just presenting that Mishnah as a Machlokes between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim, because it provides for us the background of what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was doing all this time, and how that sheds light on not just the koach of the Mesorah, but also the limitations of the Mesorah, and how it's supposed to be used properly and effectively. Finally, to answer our last question, we want to know, according to the position of the Rid, in his interpretation of the Haggadah, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah all this time actually held like the Chachamim. He actually held like the Chachamim, and when Ben Zoma came along, Ben Zoma was able to win against everybody. So we ask, why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah singled out according to that approach? He was really one of many in the crowd of the Chachamim, so to speak, who all felt that Yetzias Mitzrayim was only mentioned during the daytime. So I think you see another perspective that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is trying to offer us. It's not just that for 50 years he remained quiet. That's one valuable lesson. That was only according to the previous pshat. According to this pshat, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling us that understanding the power of the Torah Shebaal Peh is not just to offer new meaning and new depth, but rather, even if I'm set in my ways, and you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and I'm convinced that this is the way that it's supposed to be done, and this is the way that it's supposed to be understood, over 50 years later of being the leader of the Jewish people, I'm still open to a brand new approach, a brand new sitter, davening Maariv differently than I've been davening it for the last 50 years. And part of the understanding of the Koach of the Mesorah is being able to expand beyond the limits of what we're used to and open up new vistas that redefine our practice and redefine our approach, which is extraordinarily relevant for the Seder. Because when you think about the Seder, it's very easy to sit down and just wonder, okay, we did this last year, and we did this the year before, and it's the same story. But at the same time, if I'm not mistaken, someone did a study on this, not sure whether Pirkei Avos or the Haggadah won, but I think the Haggadah won, that it's extraordinary how many new interpretations of the Haggadah are published every single year. It's limitless. And you can buy a new Haggadah, you can buy 30 new Haggadahs every year, and it never gets old. But it's a question of whether or not you're ready to take a step back and say this is going to be the same Seder as last year, or whether it's going to be a new Seder. The Rambam, I think, source number 22, bottom page 6, L'fichach omer b'tmiya ani al-af rov hishtad lusi v'skavrusi im chachamim. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying something totally different. All these years, b'tmiya, I can't believe it. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is saying, Ben Zalman came along, I can't believe it. All these years, I've been sitting in the Beis Medrash, and I've been talking to all my colleagues and all the Rabbanim in the Beis Medrash. Lo zachisi l'dasa remez b'kosav, al chovas kriyas parash, and Ben Zalman comes along and unearths something which I had never heard of before. And that is going to redefine what I do on a daily basis, and it's going to open up, again, the ability to take in new practices and new perspectives on what otherwise seems to be the same old story again and again. I'm just add one or two points over here, because I think the Haggadah lesson is something which really has to be expanded upon way beyond just the night of the Seder, and that might be what Rav Elazar ben Azariah is telling us at the very beginning of the Seder, saying don't lose interest yet. We're only starting, but really you're about to enter the world of Torah Shebaal Peh, which is ever-changing, ever-evolving, and ever-developing, and will not stop unless we give up, and unless we get too set in our ways of what we're used to. There's a fascinating passage in the Chovas HaLevavos, source number 23, to share some highlights outside. The Chovas HaLevavos is one of the classic Musar Sfarim from the medieval times, Jewish history. One of the Rishonim, it's somewhat of a debate who actually wrote it. But notwithstanding, Chovas HaLevavos, towards the end of the Sefer, has what he terms Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. Cheshbon HaNefesh is a classic tool for those who are seeking self-improvement, so at the end of the day, to sit down and evaluate where I'm holding, what I do today, how was my tefillah today, how was my lashon hara today, etc., to try to keep tabs on what I'm doing, to see if there's some sort of improvement, or am I just stale, am I just doing the same thing I was doing yesterday. So he breaks it down into 30 different angles by which a person is supposed to analyze his actions and his thoughts. And he lists each one of those angles as a different prism by which to view your daily life. Number 24 in that list is that you have to see if the way I learn Torah, the way I daven, the way I review the stories of Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chaisar, etc., am I basically conjuring up an image of those parsha sheets that I used to color in when I was in kindergarten, first grade, and that my kids now bring home, my grandchildren bring home for the Shabbos table, and with the long beard and the big turban and the staff and the sheep walking by, is that my image, and is that my understanding of Parshas Lech Lecha and Parshas Vayera, or have I come to a new level of sophistication? Is the level of sophistication this year greater than it was last year? And have I come to a better appreciation of what I'm doing and what I'm learning about, or am I still stuck in that same mode that I started with? And hopefully, intellectually, we've developed a little bit beyond kindergarten and first grade. And the only question is, has my learning, has my davening also followed suit in terms of going back and restudying those same stories and those same mefarshim to come to a better understanding of how it impacts on me and what I'm supposed to do with the lesson that I've taught. And in a certain sense, that's exactly what Rav Elazar ben Azariah is telling us. That there has to be a freshness, there has to be a pressing refresh in order to reevaluate what it is I already know, to make sure that I'm adding new meaning as time goes on. Where there's a story of Shimon HaMsuni, Nechemiah HaMsuni, the two different versions, the Gemara Mesachim, source number 24, Hayadorish called Esam Shabbat Torah, Kevin Shegir, Esa Shem HaKachatira Pirish. He went through the entire Torah, and he would darshan every S. S Rabbos this, S Rabbos that, until he got to the very end of the Torah, almost, Es Hashem L'Kach Tira, and he couldn't come up with a way to possibly equal the Yirah Shemayim until Rabbi Kiva came along and helped him out. But it sounds like almost this was his M.O., his magnum opus, not modus operandi, entire life was devoted towards uncovering the depth and meaning of S, and in the opposite sense was able to reject his life's work and come to the conclusion kishem she kibalti schar al adrisha ka kibalti schar al prisha, that it's as valuable to come back and roll back from all that he had done up until now in order to open himself up to a new perspective that didn't include the essence. The story is told, I spoke to someone this morning because I wanted to corroborate it. I only heard it secondhand. Ravon Lichtenstein, the person I spoke to this morning said he heard it in the 90s. Ravon Lichtenstein mentioned this in Teaneck in a public address, that he was lamenting the fact that, I guess, parents of students who went to Gush would complain to him when they would meet him in Israel or when he was visiting America. You know, the children come back so for front, and they tell us we're doing this wrong, and doing that wrong, and that, we do this, and do that. And he related that my son came back from yeshiva, and he also said that we should do this differently in the kitchen, and this should be improved, and we should make this different. And he said that I happily obliged. He added that, if you ask me, I think everything was totally fine to begin with, and I could have made a strong argument against it. But he was trying to convey the same message of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that even if you've been doing one thing one way for the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and 60 years, there's nothing wrong with being open to new things and new modes of development and increasing, again, the depths of meaning and practice as we learn them and as we strive to understand them better. I think we'll have to close with that, but may this year's Seder actually be much deeper than last year's Seder, and that we should break all the limitations that our preconceived notions and learning sometimes locks us into, so that the future Siddurim will offer new vistas and new depth for us and for all those around the table. Mr. Shem.